Another day, another dawn.
Is this how we're starting?
No.
All right. Every time we start it with another day, another dawn, let's go for it. Hey, babes.
Hey, babes.
So the last episode was pretty great. It did well, alhamdulillah. People loved it, but guys, don't get used to it because that's going to be every now and then a thing.
It's a treat.
I'm trying. We're trying to figure out how to do this. Just like bear with us. We're rolling with the punches. It doesn't show.
You sure?
You can remove it if you want. Yeah, I think we're fine.
All right. Yeah. I mean, we have to introduce me.
Oh, it's babe, they know you. It's
Afaf. I mean, yeah, but still.
Okay, Dad isn't in the studio today. It's just Afaf because we're about to go into Q4, so it's been very busy all around for everyone.
Good to be here, Lails. Good to be here indeed. I know, you always want to punch me. Anyways, honestly, it's good to be here. Super excited. Shall we get into it?
Uh-huh.
Man, it's just awkward to start this.
I mean, no one saw you do this on camera, so they just see me react awkwardly.
It's just a weekly thing. You know what? I'm going to just be here. Just guys love me.
They sure do.
No, honestly, on a serious note, it's good to be here. We are about to not make an episode this week.
Yeah, because on the way here, I had an attack on my eye. It just started watering. My eyeliner here is just completely gone. And I feel very, like, congested, so it's very strange. But
this is a priority, so we have to make it happen.
The show must go on, as they say.
The show must go on, as indeed. All right, we had a lot of questions from the last episode with your dad, but we also have some new questions and new topics
that
even.
We didn't go over. Yeah.
So let's do like a little bit of a warm up. Actually, you know what's so funny is the first set of topics is really not a warm up. It's really intense.
Okay.
But let's get into it.
Okay.
Okay. It's so funny because I try to not make this an interview thing, but like sometimes it comes across as an interview. But I'm gonna go in really deep in here. But how does a person know they truly believe in God?
Okay, so I know we never plan the answers in advance, but you did send me the questions yesterday, and I skimmed through them. I was hoping because Dad wouldn't be here that I would do some research and maybe come up with some, you know, nice information to share with people. But subhanAllah, I didn't even need to. Because the answer kind of came to me. So how do you know if you believe in God? I'm going to humble myself and say, yesterday I didn't know if I was equipped enough to be able to answer the question. So I called my dad and he said something. He said, it's when you have a yearning for God. But then he was like, that might be a little too deep and too intense for some people. And then we had to cut the conversation short because I took my mom out to dinner. And then we were like, we'll come back to it, right? And then subhanAllah, my friend sends me a video of this dude. You know what? I am going to take the second to get his name because he deserves the shout out. Bismillah, let me just find it. Okay. He has a page on Instagram called Muslim Hub Club, and his name is Osama Shurafa. Okay. She sends me a video by him where he's reciting a poem that he says is by Imam Ali, but it's not by Imam Ali. It's actually by Abba Faris al-Hamadani. And just the last part is by him. And then the beginning is other verses. And I don't know how he got it, but it's just basically verses put together. And the last part is by Abu Faris al-Hamadani. And it actually answers your question. So subhanAllah, it's the one question you asked me yesterday. And then God sends the answer. So I'm going to recite the poem because I memorized it immediately.
Wow.
Yeah. I'll say it in Arabic. I didn't memorize the English like translation of it because there's no need. I'd rather just read it. But I'll say the Arabic one.
You can say the Arabic one and then the English. You can just, you know.
I'll recite it. I'll read it. I won't, because I don't know it by heart. I just memorized the Arabic. So to answer your question, sorry, that's the...
No.
The backstory. But to answer your question of how do you know if you genuinely believe in God, my dad would answer, it's that you have a constant yearning for Allah. And that could be either to one day meet him, inshallah, or in your life, you just yearn to thank him or yearn to remember him, his remembrance, right? So there's this poem by multiple people, but the ending is by Abu Faris al-Hamadani. And it goes like, Habibi la ya'diluhu habibu, wa la li siwahu fi qalbi nasibu, habibun ghaba an basari wa sam'i, walakin fi fuadi ma yaghibu. Ya habiba qalbi ma li siwaka, farham al-yawmi mudhniban qad ataka, ya raja'i wa rahati wa sururi, qad abal qalbu an yuhibba siwaka. فليتك تحلو والحياة مريرة وليتك ترضى والأنام غضاب وليت الذي بيني وبينك عامر وبيني وبين العالمين خراب إذا صح منك الود فالكل هين وكل الذي فوق التراب تراب. And it's basically the way I see it, just a poem for how much God is everything. Just the remembrance of him in everything and just the yearning to be with him. So that's my answer for how you know you really believe in God.
Okay, so for those who don't really understand the full...
I will translate it. Alrighty. I didn't memorize the English. I just didn't see the
news. Or, you know, even what you understood from it as well.
I understand the Arabic, alhamdulillah. But the way it's written is poetic in English. So I'd rather not butcher with my translation. Absolutely, yeah. So the translation is, my love, no other love compares. No heart but mine for you declares. Though from my sight and ears you hide, in my soul you still reside. Oh, my beloved, none but you forgives the sinner who comes to you. My hope, my joy, my sweet delight. My heart loves none but you in sight. If only you are sweet and life is tough, and if you're pleased, that's more than enough. If all between us stands so strong, let the world's ties go right or wrong. For if your love is true and deep, all else is dust beneath our feet.
That's beautiful.
It's a love poem for God, basically.
It's a very beautiful, beautiful thing. But do you think that every person feels that same way to verify, you know, God's existence?
I think if you love God, you should feel that way, absolutely. If you have a genuine love for God, the way we were intended to love him, yeah, you yearn for him. It's the same way, because not to dumb it down to that level, because relationships are beautiful and marriage is beautiful, but when you love your husband or your wife, don't you have a yearning to spend time with them, to Absolutely. See them, to see how they're doing? When you're shopping for yourself, you see a shirt that might fit them or they might like, and, oh, I want to surprise my partner with that, you know? So if you feel all these intense emotions for a partner, what do you think you should feel for God?
Yeah.
So, but how everyone loves God? No, but you're asking me. I can't state for the whole world. But how I know I believe in God is this podcast, for example. To constantly want to talk to people about him, you know? To want to show people, look at how beautiful he is. Look at everything you're missing out on. I don't want to cry. It's the deep pain in my heart I feel when I see negative comments about Islam, you know? So that to me is how I know I believe in God. It's the protectiveness. It's the fear of please don't ever allow me to forget you. So, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Oh, again, crying so quickly, so soon. What's happening to me? I've turned into an emotional mush ball.
Yeah, maybe should have started it easy, but it's okay.
No, you know what? This podcast is about...
It is.
God and finding him in any capacity.
The center is God. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the center, the sides, the in-between, the up, the down, everything. All of it.
Oh, you just stated a movie. Everything in between. No, that was very beautiful, babe. Honestly, thank you for sharing that poem.
Thank you for asking the question.
It was really, really nice. Love you, Felix. You know...
Hey!
Love you, too.
There we go.
Wow, wow, wow. I had a good thought. No, I love you too, babe. So, you know, in this life, we are always tested, right?
Yeah.
And I just wonder, or even maybe a lot of people wonder, why are we tested in this life? Like, why shouldn't life be easy, smooth sailing? Why are there tests?
I will tell you why. I actually have a quote. I actually have a quote that I will read. Let me find it. Bismillah. I posted it on my story when I bought... I'm going to butcher his name. Dostoevsky.
That sounded good to me.
Did it?
Sounded legit to me.
Okay. So I bought his books, Bismillah. I got White Nights and I got Demons. And then I just fell in love with them that I started looking more into his work. And this is from his book, The Devils. So why does God put us through tests? This quote to me is one of the clearest answers you can get. And despite it being so clear, very few will understand it. And you also have Khalil Gibran and other people who have said the exact same thing. So Dostoevsky from The Devils, he wrote, "But do you understand? I cry to him. Do you understand that along with happiness, in the exact same way and in perfectly equal proportion, man also needs unhappiness? If life was only ever happiness, and you had nothing to compare it to, you wouldn't know what happiness was. I know pain because I know the opposite of it. I know grief or happiness, sorry, because I've known grief. I know ease and peace because I've known struggle and strife. And it's very egotistical and borderline maniacal for you to have the audacity to expect that you can go about this world without suffering, without ever having your feelings getting hurt, without going through what God intended you to go through. 7-8 billion people on this world, and you expect that you will go through no suffering and you'll come out wise and educated and grateful and humble. That is an impossible equation. And the more important question to me is, why would you even want that? You know, so why do we go through suffering? Because it is a necessity to feel happiness.
That's you know what, you're so right. Not a lot of people do get that. Not a lot of people understand is that to feel happiness or to know the taste of it and to really understand it and to revel in it, they don't really understand that pain and trials and tribulations is so necessary, because then at the end of the day, what is life?
Yeah.
You know?
It is this roller coaster that we go through, and a beautiful ride. Honestly, man, life is a beautiful ride. Who is a better planner than God? Who is a better painter, a better cinema maker, a better choreographer than everything we see around us? But people want to focus on the negativities and the pain. And I understand. I understand where it comes from. But in Sufism, we have this teaching and this hikmah of where we know the atrocities of the world. We're very aware. Bro, especially with Palestine, of course, we're very aware. It's just Palestine aside, just the atrocities in general of life, we don't focus on it. Are we aware of it? Yes. But we focus on the beauty and the blessing that God sends our way, because otherwise, what kind of a miserable prison do you just lock yourself into? It's a prison cell, you know? And then also, how is that gratitude if you're showing God that, oh, I'm only focusing on the negative, and then I'm turning this beauty that you've created into an abyss? Whose fault is it then? Is it mine or his? And it's never his. Does that make sense?
Yeah, babe, it makes a lot of sense.
But yeah, alhamdulillah.
Okay. You know how we have this thing sometimes when sometimes we know this person or have that friend where a lot of bad things happen to them. And then sometimes we just out of the blue, we say, God is angry at you, or you brought this upon yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, okay. Do you think that's true?
So, Islamically, I don't know the right verse or something to answer that, but I will say, I am of two minds. I am of two minds. I think yes and no. Because of the 99 names of Allah, He is vengeful and He is a punisher. Because as beautiful and as merciful and as loving and as caring and as phenomenal as He is, He also has the wrath of God that exists. It is a thing that exists, right? So, yes, I think His wrath exists. And He could be or have wrath towards someone. That being said, I also think, and this is something my dad taught me, okay? So when I started this podcast, and it started blowing up, and you know, the little bit of fame or people recognizing you or the numbers being crazy, right? He looked at me and he was like, don't you dare ever take it for granted or not be humble أو تتكبري عن الناس أو تشوفي حالك. Because he said God loves you too much to let that happen to you. He will take it all away in the blink of an eye. So watch yourself. And I didn't take that in a scary way. I took that as, wow, I'm always protected. God loves me so much that he'll never allow me to lead my soul astray. And I think I said this to you yesterday, but to me right now in the stage of my faith, it's just a change in perspective. Rather than God hates me and he's punishing me, it's God saving my soul. He's leading me back in the right direction. It's literally just a,
yeah,
just change your perspective.
It is all about perspective. And even if a person feels that they are being punished, I wouldn't even want to say punished, though. I just think it's that maybe, like, everything happens for a reason.
It's like when your parent, you do something wrong and your parent disciplines you. And then when you're older and wiser, you're kind of like,
thank God. You learn from it. I think that's the point. We always
say, thank God our parents were so strict with us.
Yeah, you learn from it.
At the time, we were like, this is torture. I have the worst parents in the world. You know? Everyone else is so lucky. Their parents are so open-minded. But now that we're in our 20s and 30s, alhamdulillah, I don't know what my soul would have turned into without my mom and dad being so strict and disciplined with me.
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
change in perspective.
We would have been in trouble.
Trouble.
Trouble. Like, yeah. There's a lot of people out there just
that willing, are in trouble. In trouble.
I mean, just willing to take advantage of you. And, you know, and if you didn't have your parents' guidance or even a bit of fear, you know, from your parents.
It's a healthy dose of fear.
Yeah. Of course. Of course.
Yeah. I get you.
But like if your parents tell you, don't go there, don't do that, or don't talk to a stranger, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And you have some sort of a little bit of fear from that.
Yeah.
You would take yourself off of a sticky situation, no?
Yeah. Absolutely. Alhamdulillah. But yeah, I think that's really important. It's just a change in perspective that...
Oh, perspective is everything, babe.
Hermione Granger.
Oh.
Perspective.
It is everything.
Right. Perspective. Guys, I'm very... By the way, get ready because the second October 1st hits, I am fully in fall, winter, Christmas attire. Mode. Yeah. It's Halloween. And I know, astaghfirullah, Halloween, but I'm just talking about the movies and Harry Potter and that fun stuff. Just
talking,
you know?
About the fun of it.
You don't understand. These are the best 3 months of my life.
So are you going to have a podcast episode of you wearing a Halloween costume?
Babe, I think they'll come for me.
I'm joking with you.
I would, but I'd do something like either from a Tim Burton movie or something funny. Like don't get me wrong, it's fun to like be sexy or whatever, but like I'm not into the whole Mean Girls bunny costume. Like that's not my vibe.
Of course.
But like I love that Anahita did Rick and Morty. Like she committed. I love that she did Corpse Bride and not in a sexy way, like she fully committed to the caricature. I thought that was beautiful.
A'udhu billah.
Corpse Bride is one of my favorite movies.
Oh, absolutely. It is what it is. No, I'm so excited. You know what? Summer is my favorite period of the year.
We had a good summer.
But there is something very beautiful about winter.
Babe, I'm really excited for winter, like mob wife attire, you know what I mean?
Even like the make, although I don't want to lose my tan. Khalas, listen, we digress.
Babe, by the way, winter in Dubai is summer everywhere else. We're still, we're going to the beach, what do you mean?
I know, but I can't wear like red or dark lipstick. Oh, you know what? Let's park this. This question's a bit heavy, to be honest with you. And I think, honestly... Let me know if you agree with this. I think that every single human being on this earth has questioned their faith and religion and even the existence of God. That to me, I'll tell you truly and honestly that I was in certain times and moments where I did question, okay, you know, is this all real? Like everybody has that, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a shame or a sin to admit to it, right? We're human beings. There's just some things that are really beyond our grasp and understanding, right?
Yeah.
But so I've been in this situation, alhamdulillah, it hasn't happened in a very long time. And thank God that whenever I do get these thoughts or moments, I, like within 5 seconds, I snap out of it. I'm like, what are you doing?
Do you still get these thoughts?
No, I said.
So this was in the past?
Yeah, in the past. Yeah. No, now it's...
Now, no, okay.
Now, no.
Because I was going to say, I've never, since I've known you, seen you question, but I know you used to, because I used to. I'll go and I'll tell the story.
I'll be honest with you. It hasn't happened in a long time. Alhamdulillah. But when it does, or if it does, I snap, like, within 5 seconds, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, yeah. You know, what are you thinking of? But it's normal, right? It is.
It is. Okay, so here's the thing. It's normal... I don't like the word normal, but yeah, for lack of a better word.
It happens. It
is a natural progression on your way to finding your religion. Because here's the thing, though. You need to factor in so many factors, right? There are some people who grew up with the worst type of Islam. So their parents were like the strict, اللي بيكرهوك لا سمح الله religion. They make you, astaghfirullah, hate religion, you know? And I don't blame these people for kind of dropping it and being like, no, you know, I want nothing to do with this anymore. I blame the person who puts... hatred in that person's heart, you know? And so that's, so anyway, there are so many factors that play into this. But let's go on you and me, because we're just going to speak from a subjective experience, and then maybe someone relates, maybe someone doesn't. I never not believed in God. So okay. Alhamdulillah, this is one thing for me. I've never questioned the existence of Allah. I could not bring myself to do it.
Mashallah.
And I don't know why. It's by His grace. I did question religion, which to me now saying out loud sounds horrible. But I did. I questioned, is Islam even real? Is Christianity real? Is Judaism real? I questioned the existence of the prophets and the religions, and were they just a tale as old as time, like Greek mythology or Roman mythology, because people need something to believe in, to the point where they created gods in Roman literature. You know, it is what it is in Greek literature. So I questioned the substance of religion because I did not understand what the Prophet ﷺ was. And that's why I tell people, just go and read his life story. Read his last khutbah.
Oh, don't.
You know what I mean? Mm. So that's my experience. My dad, actually we were on the phone today, subhanAllah, talking about this, that there was a time where he questioned the existence of Allah because he was surrounded by that negative form of religion that almost made your heart shut because they instill fear and shame in you. And rohak, your soul was not built to survive shame. It's not built to live in shame. So he naturally refuted that and just rebuked it and wanted nothing to do with it. And he told me on the phone, he said, subhanAllah, there was a lady, an old lady, and he's like, I'll never forget it. She said, if you do not believe in Allah and His existence, why is it that it's all you talk about? Because a lot of these atheists, it's not that they don't believe in God, it's the mind that's a barrier. The soul is behind that mind fighting it, right? There's just a block. And if they're constantly only ever talking about God, what does that mean? It means your soul is just looking for Him, and it's looking for that sign or someone or that poem or that movie or that person, like this old lady, who just kind of wakes you up and goes like, He's there, you know? So that's my dad's story. But is it normal? Yeah. Yeah, it is, of course.
I don't feel any shame or feel...
No,
not that you're implying that I should be.
No, you shouldn't.
But like, it's like what we discussed the last episode. Now, I don't know if this relates to what we're discussing now, to me, it does. Is sometimes you just need to take a step. Again, we were born Muslims. I was.
When we said don't inherit your religion?
Yeah. Okay. So it relates to that. You know what I mean? Like, in a way. Does. So unlearn. You know what I mean?
It does relate to that because, like we said last time, your parents could have been good Muslims, they could have been bad Muslims. Now I was giving the example of bad Muslims who make you hate, God forbid, the religion. But it's very normal. By the way, a lot of those stories that you see online of Ajanib and Europeans and white people and people from all over the
converting.
World. Converting. We say reverting, converting. I don't know what the right term is.
Reverting, sorry. Because it's reverting.
Born Muslim. Yeah, I know. But those people that you see reverting online and you hear their stories and you read their stories and you watch their videos, they'll tell you Islam was the one religion that allowed me to question and had an answer for every question. So this idea that you're not allowed to question things in Islam or question things that God decrees or that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did, it's very demonic and it's very new. You are absolutely within your right and your prerogative to question and to ask and receive the right answers. That is your right. You're not meant to be brainwashed. You're not meant to be a sheep. God did not ask this of us. Bilax, I find it a beautiful thing if someone has an intuitive mind and they want to know more. But number one, it's the way you ask. If you're asking with disrespect, that's not within your right. Because I wouldn't ask anything about Christianity or Judaism with disrespect. And number two, it's Bismillah. I think when you're asking, it's your soul wanting to know more. That's maybe a fatih, that's just a grasp away. Mm. And it's unfortunate when you have people telling you you're not allowed to question or you're a kafir because of that. How else would you know? How else would you fall in love with this beautiful religion if not for the questions and the answers?
Did you ever come across this article? I actually saw it.
Again. Yeah, tell me.
Of this, it's a Dutch guy, okay? Unfortunately, I don't know what his vocation is in life.
Are you sure he's Dutch or Australian?
Dutch.
Okay.
He's a Dutch guy.
Okay.
So he was such a Islamophobe, a hater to Islam. He hated the religion so much. Mm. He was an Islamophobe, yani, basically. Yeah.
Was he the one that was about to go blow up a mosque?
No.
That was in America. I'll tell you the story. Okay.
So he was such an Islamophobe, and he actually wanted to write a dissertation and a novel proving that Islam is fake and false.
I do know that.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
So I'll just continue for them. Does he do is he's obviously researching. He reads the whole Quran in English. And then he actually reverted back to Islam. And then, like, it's so funny because in the interview when he was talking, he starts laughing. And he's like, yeah, like, you know, I set out on this journey to prove that Islam is, you know, false, not true. It's a lie. And he's like, I ended up converting to Islam. Like, subhanAllah, that's crazy.
But subhanAllah, this actually, to me, proves my point. An atheist, I don't know if he was an atheist, but if maybe he believes in God.
I don't know.
Whatever, but he's just someone who wants to prove Islam doesn't exist, right? If you don't believe in Islam, why is it all you can think about? Why is it consuming your mind, your every waking thought? Yeah, this man went as far as to write a whole thesis or attempt to just disprove the existence of Islam. Because his soul needed Islam and wanted Islam. If he didn't believe in Islam, why are you so concerned with it? Leave it be, Habibi. Leave it be.
You know what's so interesting is, you know, a lot of like the scientific miracles or scientific studies they find, or like even like about nature, earth, medicine, diseases, all of it is in the Quran. It's so... Not all of it, most of it.
Because a lot of it is hocus pocus.
No, but by the way,
a lot of modern day scientific studies are hocus pocus.
No. So, sorry, let's give one example.
The baby?
The embryo.
Yeah.
There's about black seed oil.
Yeah.
There's about honey.
Honey, yes.
There's about fake. Surat al-Teen. You know what I mean? There's a lot. There's a lot of
things. There's a lot. Yeah. Babe. Alhamdulillah, Islam is, the Quran is a hack on life. It's insane. It is a holy book that when you read it, just it's a guidebook on life and a hack on life. I mean, what more could you want?
Yeah, good talk. Okay, now, I think all of us at some point in our lives really had a big inflated ego. Right?
No.
Well, a lot of people. You know what? I don't want to say all. Scratch Babe, that.
You're. It's. I was subhanAllah. I was thinking about this today when we were driving here. Because you know, I got a new car, and alhamdulillah, I feel so happy. It's the first time in my life I feel a little bit of imposter syndrome, and now I understand what people are talking about. But I immediately like put that aside and just say alhamdulillah, and God's the best. But and then you know, you look at other cars, and you have. You know, the basic cars and cars that are 20 years old and whatever. And then it really dawned on me that, babe, we make up a very small percentage of the world. There are some people that ما بيحلموا, they cannot dream of even owning a car.
No, I'm saying ego.
I know, but what? But this attaches to that. Not everyone has a big ego, babe. We live in a...
But ego doesn't have to be related to materialistic things.
It doesn't, but a lot of people, babe, are very humble and beat down by life every day.
At some point in one's life, they may have had an inflated ego. I'm not saying
I agree with that statement. I just don't think it's the...
Anyways, I agree.
Do you get what I'm saying? Majority of middle-class people, sure. Yeah.
I think... Just based from what I know, I think at some point, whether it's a big part of their life or a small part of their life,
I get what you're saying. But anyway, let's
semantics. So can you just define what is ego?
I don't know.
What do you think it is?
Okay. This is how I'll define it. Because I can't give you a Merriam-Webster.
Oh no, of course. You know what I mean? I want Leila's take on what do you think ego is?
What I think ego is, from all the lessons that I've learned through Islam, Sufism, my father, all of it, alhamdulillah, is everything that goes against what we stand for. To me, that's the best way I can define ego. It's going out of your way to skew religion to make it work to your advantage. It's going out of your way to vilify, astaghfirullah, God, because you refuse to change your perspective and see it as a blessing and you rather see it as a curse. It's thinking that this dunya works against you and then having the audacity to want it to serve you the best of the best when you've done nothing to earn it. When you go about life that way, to me, that is what an ego is. It's entitlement when you've done nothing. That's the best way I can define ego. What about you? What do you think ego is?
I agree with what you said, by the way, and it's very, very philosophically put. It is. No, it's very, very nice, because I would have never have deeply interpreted what ego means in that way, but you are right. I think ego, I'll just dumb it down because, you know, I understand it like this way. But I think ego is when someone or a person puts themselves or has this or what do I say?
Are you trying to say selfish?
No. Someone with a big ego or ego. And by the way, I think ego is false. Yeah, I don't think it's a positive term whatsoever.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I think someone with an ego is someone that does not see himself kind of equal or in the same line as people. Do you know what I mean? Someone with ego would put him or herself in a pedestal that, you know, yeah. Or feel, as you've said, feel some sort of entitlement to things or doesn't need to answer to things or just thinks, you know what, even simpler, someone that just thinks they're better than the rest.
I agree. I think also it's... To continue on that, not to be melodramatic, but I truly am of the belief that ego is the devil that takes control of the car of your life and crashes you into the side of the road. If ego exists, it is inevitable. It'll take control of your life. A lot of people will tell you, oh no, I keep my ego in check. But do you? Do you even understand the monster that is an uncontrolled ego? And you think you're able to tame that beast? Wow. Hercules.
Hercules, indeed.
You know what I mean? Riding Pegasus. You think Pegasus is your ego and you're just Hercules taming that beast? Are you crazy?
Do you believe in giving a person second chances?
Yes and no. I'll tell you, I'll do two different parts. I believe in giving people second chances under very specific circumstances. There are certain sins that you cannot forgive, betrayal, especially when it comes to trusting someone in time of need or with your most valuable things like your family or your children. You know, and even in Islam, the Prophet ﷺ dealt with betrayal with a very harsh and assertive hand, you know. So there are sins you cannot forgive. But do people deserve a second chance? Most of the time, yeah, because they're lost souls and they're looking for guidance and they're looking for something to tether themselves to, and they don't know which way is right and which way is wrong, you know? And I cried about this on the internet. I wouldn't have made it without a few helping hands. Did I deserve a helping hand at every time? I didn't think so. God thought I did. So whose word is more potent, mine or Allah's? And always Allah's. But yeah, and I don't believe in cancel culture. I think it's a joke. You can't cancel me. I'll say this till the day I die. You'll come up with receipts with anything I said in the past. I'll get up and be like, yeah, I did say I was a... Who cares? You know, this thing of cancel culture, and we don't give people second chances. And subhanAllah, it comes from these very hidden trolls on the internet. And like Mike Tyson said, the social media has really given you the audacity to be disrespectful without receiving a punch in the face for it, you know? Say this to my face, let me see. Most people wouldn't. Most people you meet every day don't disrespect you face to face. You know what I mean? So this cancel culture, if we're just going to cancel an entire soul and a whole being because maybe they made a mistake or maybe they offended me, who am I? Offend me. So what? Life is akhd wa ata, it's give and take. So what if I felt offended? Who am I? Arasi Risha? Am I, astaghfirullah, a goddess that you have no right to offend me ever and I'm going to roam this earth untouched? It makes no sense. So what do you mean cancel people? What happened to the rahmeh man? What happened to guiding people without beating on them and reprimanding their entire soul and shredding them to pieces? It's demonic beyond belief, you know? Do we point out a wrong? Beautiful. But with adab, with ihtiram, and in Islam we call it nasiha. It is with the intention of helping and wanting to see you do better. It's not with the intention of pointing a finger and judging and I'm holier than thou. It's called nasiha in Islam, and people should really look into the history of that.
What's the second thing about giving people second chances?
No, I don't believe in giving people second chances when they commit a sin that is unforgivable, that Allah has decreed unforgivable, that my Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam dealt with unforgiveness. And in his heart, because I would... So actually, I'm not going to say about the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. I will say one of the comments that someone left under my video that said, Jesus forgave all the time. And my dad responded, because my dad be coming for the trolls.
Your dad always responds.
He does, he's so funny. And he responded, he did, but he didn't linger around them. And that person answered and said, you got me, honestly. Because I can forgive you and not forget, which is baini wa bain Rabbi, in my heart, in my soul of souls, samihtak dunya wa akhira, because I don't want to carry that burden. And I will pray for my enemies that hopefully you do better. You know what I mean? But I will not linger around you. So even if the prophets, all of them, alayhum as-salam, forgave in this dunya, they did not linger around when certain sins were committed, because some crimes and some sins are unforgivable. Does that make sense?
What do you think about holding grudges?
Babe, don't say that word to me.
Why? Why?
I watched that horror movie when I was a kid and it destroyed me. I couldn't sleep alone for years. I couldn't go to the bathroom. I couldn't shower. It traumatized me.
Okay, so I'm talking about another thing.
No, I know, but that word, I couldn't hear it. I would go into a shock. I
remember that movie. 1 second.
It's like The Ring, but worse. Even though The Ring is actually worse.
Yeah, I watched it, but I can't remember it. Khalas, change
of topic. It's the one with the... No, it's fine. I'm over it. Alhamdulillah, babe, come on now.
Cringed.
I know, but over it. So you just took me by surprise.
But I want to hear your take on this.
I don't want to do a video with that word. Okay. But I will say it did traumatize me. And subhanAllah, it was only through...
I remember the movie. She goes to Tokyo.
Tokyo.
Khalas. Okay, khalas. Let's change the subject.
No, it's fine. Just I want to say this point because people are obviously going to hear this. It's subhanAllah, babe, I could not eat, sleep, anything without someone being there to me. I was anxious all the time. I was almost at any second ready to go into a PTSD episode. It was horrendous. I watched the movie when I was 9 or 10. For years.
Why did you watch it at 9 or 10?
No need to even go into the details. I'll tell you after.
That's wild, dude. Why would you?
I saw the DVD. I took it home and my sister and I watched it. It was just... But anyway, it was subhanAllah. It was only through Allah that I was able to get over it. But that movie almost killed me. When I was 17, I almost died because of a shock that I went into because of that movie.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. This took a turn.
I so that word always just like leaves a sour taste in my mouth. I just don't like it.
Okay, let's go to lighter things. Ugh. Do you believe that there is a partner out there for everyone? And is there a possibility that someone has missed their chance in love?
Short answer, yes, because in the Quran it says خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, which means we created you in pairs. And I think that's beautiful. And I think it's the most romantic, just mesmerizing thing in the world. Very Pride and Prejudice, which is our favorite movie. And do I think some people could miss their chance? Absolutely, because there's also, there are people who have a vocation to go in, for example, Christianity, go join, become nuns. That's a vocation. It's a higher calling that they have. Who am I to negate that, you know, or deny that experience? And then there's also in Islam, maktub, you know, and there are a lot of Muslim men and women out there that never got married. And if that is a nasib that Allah has destined for them, again, who am I to negate or deny that experience? So can you miss your chance? Yes, it could be written and decreed by Allah, and you can mess it up all by your beautiful self.
Expand on that.
I'm going to come for the feminists.
Or give an example as well.
I can't give an example because it'll hit too close to home to some of my friends, and I don't want to hurt them that way. I love them truly. But yeah, of course you can screw up your chances in this life of finding a partner. Of course you can. When you buy into the disgusting ideologies of modern day feminism and the agenda that it pushes, and you think that you're going to be hot and sexy and young and thriving and flirty and 30 forever. But that's just, and it's not me being a hater, truly. It's just, look at the reality around you. You know, I have so many friends in their mid to late 30s pushing 40, cannot find a partner, want to find a partner. In the best of ways, I'm saying this, they want someone to share a life with, and they can't because they lived that lifestyle and they wasted their years and they bought into that. And mind you, also at 35 plus, it's very hard to kind of break certain ideologies. So as much as they're trying to be more modest and find Islam again and live a more virtuous lifestyle, it is hard to break those cycles and those chains that you wrapped yourself in. And look at them now. And these are just some of my friends. Mabalik hal al alam, and the countless stories we hear online, you know? There are women crying on the internet saying, I've been lied to. I've been told, go find a career and be a boss ass bee. And they're like, I'm tired. Bro, it breaks my heart when I hear a woman say, I'm tired. So yeah, you ruin it for yourself and you don't even know you're ruining it for yourself. This really hurts my heart. It really does. Yeah, I hate it, bro. I hate it. You know when my dad said last time, say what you want.
No, go ahead.
I just want to say this again. When my dad said last time, nothing breaks his heart more than seeing an old woman still having a job. And I know him, he's referring to a janitor or the person in the cafeteria in the mall, you know, picking up after you. Bro, I unpacked my suitcase from Fujairah and my lower back hurt. I'm 29, you know? And these women, it's, who is meant to take care of them? Men. And I blame men now for this. Men that walk around and they see women struggling and they don't have an urge, a deep divine urge to take care of the women around them. Khiba, it's such a disappointment. Yeah, wallahi, what a waste of a man you are.
It's definitely men, but babe, honestly, it is also women.
But these janitors, they're very simple people. They weren't living the OnlyFans lifestyle. Listen, so that's why I'm saying in this case, men. With that specific thing.
By the way,
no one blames feminism as much as me. So
it's not even only a janitor, babe. It could be a woman in a high position. She's acting all tough and boss. And then
I was talking
she goes
about
home
that.
To a very lonely, lonely thing. And you look into her eyes and it's just sadness and loneliness. Like,
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's, you know what, honestly?
I agree.
It's feminism. For me, the root cause of all of this, of why women are pushing their 40s, and not finding partners is because of feminism.
Yeah. Can I? I will say one thing about
that. Go ahead.
Just one thing.
Sure.
The feminism thing. this is the first and final time I will say this, okay? But to anyone who has the audacity and the nerve to think that I have, alhamdulillah, the blessing and the ability to get on a podcast and talk about beautiful things such as my religion and my Prophet alayhi salatu salam and my Islam, and you want to give feminism the credit for why I have been allowed to do this, you are out of your mind. You have lost your marbles. If I said it once, I'll say it again. Islam has given me all the rights I need as a woman. It is not feminism. So you can take that ideology and you can go enjoy it by your lonesome, being a boss bee when you're 40, desperate for a husband. That is the last time I will say this. Because I really think it's insanely disrespectful. Those girls going like, crazy, you're on a podcast and saying feminism isn't the reason. No, girl, this isn't it. No, girl, this is it. You wanna? It blows my mind, especially this. It blows my mind how many brown girls, especially with Asia, because to me, we are one and the same. You know what I mean? Especially in India, Pakistan, that are on my comments with this aggression and this anger in their soul, wanting to give feminism the credit for why I'm on a podcast. Bro, white people took everything from us. You even want to give them credit for why us Muslims are on a podcast? Why? Why? Go look into your Islam. It gave you all of your rights. And if your society and people around you are skewing religion because عادات وتقاليد مو دين, traditions and cultures, culture, is not religion. So if they're taking that and skewing religion to fit their agendas, please don't take it out on Islam and don't go take feminism as your one true hero, for the love of God. I hate it.
Let's talk about body counts.
Sure.
I just hate this word. And we see it being thrown around on social media.
Yeah.
First of all, do you think a woman is judged the same way as a man is when it comes to body counts?
No, I don't think she is, but I think both should be judged accordingly and in the same way. Y'all talk about equality, judge them both equally. Because I've heard multiple girls around me say, no, I want a man who's more experienced. You know, I don't want to have to, when I'm married, teach him anything or, you know. And at first I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You want the man to be assertive. I want to be like a cute little naive romance girl. Yeah, you know, movies. Romance novels and whatever. And at first I was like, yeah, that makes sense. And then I woke up and got a brain. And I said, no, that's kind of disgusting. No, he shouldn't. Because, again, you have to take it back to Islam. And in Islam, it's not, wallahi, he can do whatever he wants and you can't. It's both of you should.
It's culture.
Both of you should be virtuous until marriage. And then I'll take it a step further. And there's a reason this happens, but you know, y'all need Jada Pinkett Smith to tell you and then you believe it, okay? Of when there is a marital act and you come together, energies are exchanged. You carry that person's soul within you and they carry part of your soul within them. I don't need you and your 20 OnlyFans girls in my energy. Aha. You know, so... No, I don't think they're judged the same, but I think they should be. I absolutely think they should be, because if a girl has a high body count and you look at her like she's yesterday's news and she's not worth her weight in salt, then the man should be looked at the same, because in Islam, they are looked at the same. The energy that is transferred is the same. The disgusting residue it leaves on you is the same. It is the same. This is the one and only time I'll tell you men and women are equal.
Okay. Okay, you know what? Let's go a little bit relationship style, okay? How do you know when a man truly changes for a woman or for you or for anyone?
He changes. It is literally that, honestly. I'm as simple as possible. He literally changes. Now, if he was a man who had a certain reputation and a certain Casanova style about him, and you see him flip his whole world upside down just to be able to have you as his wife, that is a man who literally changed for you. It's that simple. He changes. You don't have to ask for it. You don't have to beg for it, God forbid. It just happens. He changes.
Very simple. But, yeah. You know, not a lot of people know.
I know. But that being said, I will say one thing. Sarah was telling me the other day, she's like, I need to tattoo on my forehead, that being said, because it's what you say all the time. But that being said, I wouldn't urge a woman to look or wait for a man to change for her, because it is beautiful. Yeah, there are men out there that are just living their life and waiting for that woman to come along so that they can settle down and change. There is a beauty towards that. I don't see why I'm even for. But I would rather have the man who has always wanted to be a father, has always wanted to be a partner, has always wanted to be a husband, who understands the value of what that is and understands where it comes from and how it needs to be protected and cherished and just given as much love as humanly possible. Because in Islam, that is what is required of us. Like my dad said last time, a man is incomplete. There is a sense of that in Islam. If he is not married, it completes you. And in Islam, getting married is completing half of your deen. So as beautiful as that is, I don't want the man who just decided one day, okay, I'll get married because I like you. No, I want the man who's always wanted it.
I love that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, just dumb it down for everybody, please. Okay, just dumb this down for everybody. I'll do my because best. I think we live in a world where people seem to not understand the basic of things. So just tell me, in your own Layla way or whatever way you want, what do men want in women? And what do women want in men? And why are we not understanding each other? Why is it so hard for us to come together? What's going on?
Men need a woman who adds to their status. In lamest terms, in the easiest terms, what a man needs in a relationship is peace, serenity, loyalty above all. They need someone who adds to their status. And what adds to their status is, I can go be the best version of myself out there in the concrete jungle trying to make more money to secure my family and my generations, because men think generationally. And while I'm out and about doing all of that, I know and trust that my woman is at home raising the most beautiful minds, because she has the most beautiful of minds. Okay? And a woman needs to be wanted. And it's not as simple as that. I'm not saying women are superficial and they just need to be wanted physically, but she needs to be wanted for her loyalty, for her haniyah, for her mercy, for her peace that she brings to you, for her cooking, for her everything. She needs to be wanted. It's that I look at you and I feel peace and reassurance that my man wants me, so I can go about and then be the best version of myself. In simplest terms, this is what both sexes need from each other. Now, why are we unable to understand each other? It is because it is done by design. They make men more masculine and they make women more feminine, men more feminine. And we take the worst of masculinity and they take the worst of femininity and then put them together. It's like lesbians and gays. Lesbian women and gay men. There's this like myth that they don't get along because they have nothing in common.
What do you think of men that don't want children, even though, let's say hypothetically, what do you think of men that don't want children, even though they can't have children?
They can have children?
Can. What do you think of it?
I think it's horrible. I think you should. Actually, before I think it's horrible, I think it's horrible if you're doing it for selfish reasons, because you just want to live the bachelor lifestyle. But I also understand that there are a lot of boys out there that are traumatized from horrible fathers or horrible experiences with their parents, and they don't want to have that come back into existence. They don't want to pay it forward that way. And I understand that, you know, that kind of trauma. No one will screw you up like the same-sex parent. No one. You know what I mean? Yeah. To a girl, your mother is your most important figure, and to a boy, it's his father. Now, don't get me wrong. The relationship between a son and his mother and a father and his daughter is beautiful. But no one has an effect on you like the same-sex parent. And there are a lot of men out there who had horrible fathers, abusive, neglectful, non-existent fathers. So I don't blame them for saying, you know what? I don't want to redo this. I'm so scared of doing the same thing to my kid, and why would I bring someone into this world and torture them? I understand it. As admirable as you think it is, it's really not. I think there is nothing more admirable than bringing life into this world and breaking that vicious cycle that unfortunately, someone locked you into. And if you are able to pay it forward that way, it's just a blessing in every way. And then besides, who are you going to live this world for yourself? You need to have, once you have a child, it's different. Your whole life is for them. You can be happy and fulfilled within yourself, but you have someone else that relies on you. It's not just you and your ego.
I love that. I think let's wrap it up.
I think we need to wrap it up, baby.
All right. You're gonna...
I already shared a poem at the beginning of this, so I don't need to share a poem again. But this is, so far, again, one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, it's such a beautiful episode. Honestly, I got... Sorry, you guys can't see me. We're still debating about this, low-key. But I actually got teary-eyed in some of them.
Really?
Not teary-eyed, but misty-eyed, misty?
Misty-eyed, teary-eyed, yeah.
It's just... I mean, it's always fun to talk about religions and, like, men and women and all of that stuff. But, like, sometimes it's just nice to kind of go back to basics, no?
I know. I love it. I think one of the things that I love the most about our friendship is how we say alhamdulillah always.
Oh, absolutely.
For everything. We could be going through, like, a crisis. And you just look at me and you're like, hey.
I think, honestly. Was,
like, no panicking.
Yeah. I think what's beautiful about our friendship is we're not the same person. I don't want to, like, we have different frequencies, you and I.
We're very unique and different in a lot of ways. But our foundation, especially when it comes to our love and attachment to Allah, is the same. And if we have that in common, then everything else is okay. Everything
else works out. But we're like a married couple. I mean, like, just to put that aside, like, in a funny way, we're a married couple because... When I'm panicking or freaking out, you're just like smiling in the corner.
I'm like, you're psychotic.
And
you're
when crazy. You have like your moment and I'm like, oh, Layla, okay, like just calm down.
Alhamdulillah. I will just end this, but I'm going to put you on blast here. My dad looked at us and he's like, I love your relationship. He was laughing. He's like, who's the man or woman in this relationship? And this girl had the audacity to say, I'm the man. And then multiple things happened when I looked at her and I'm like, you think you're the man? And she'd just be like, no.
Oh,
you are 1,000% the woman in this relationship.
You have humbled me. I am 1,000% the woman. I could never. No, I have no masculinity in me at all.
As you should be, baby boo. I love it.
Love you guys. And love you guys. Layla, thank you again. See you guys next week.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yalla, assalamu alaikum.
Love you, Reem.
Love you, Reem.
Sorry. Wa alaikum assalam.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.